But first to Lansing and Rick Pluta, Capital Bureau Chief for the Michigan Public Radio Network and my co-host of It's Just Politics, joins us to talk money. Hi, Rick.
Money. Hi, Zoe.
So let's talk dollars, at least state dollars. At issue has been this state surplus, almost $1 billion worth. And there's this debate, should the state spend it? Should they give it back to taxpayers? And it looks like the needle is moving toward the state spending it.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that it's a settled question by any means. But yeah, it does seem like more and more Republicans in particular are saying things like, you know, what we're hearing from our constituents is instead of sending us a small tax cut or a small rebate, go ahead and spend it on fixing the roads so that I don't have to pay for another new wheel or fix a broken axle. And so we are starting to actually see sort of this political anomaly that some lawmakers are saying, you know what, we just went through a decade-long recession, that there are a lot of things that didn't get fixed, and we might be politically better off fixing some of this stuff instead of, you know, doing what would basically be sort of a ceremonial tax cut. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't still a lot of Republicans who would like to do that. Certainly, we're seeing, you know, Senator Jack Brandenburg, who's the chair of the Senate Finance Committee, who continues to, push his rollback in the state income tax rate. But it's definitely a much more complex discussion than it seemed like it might be just a few months ago.
Does this go back to this idea that all politics is sort of local, that there are, you know, voters, that there are these constituents right now who are driving and dealing with crumbling roads, whose kids' schools may be cutting art and things like that, and so that people are sort of starting to get in touch with their lawmakers and tell them exactly what they want?
Yeah, well, maybe I wouldn't say as much that all politics is local as all politics is personal. Mm-hmm. That, you know, Governor Snyder has been, you know, going around for years now saying that, you know, this really does hit people where they live and where they drive, because it costs them money in car repairs. And now that we're seeing all of these, you know, ginormous, that's a technical term, potholes cropping up because we're now in a new thaw cycle, yeah, that people are finding out that it's true and they're saying do something about
it. But Rick, that's what I'm getting at, that the governor has spent the past years saying we need to put more money into transportation, and that didn't seem to move the needle. So that's what I'm getting at. Is it now because people are actually physically having to deal with this that now we're actually seeing some movement possibly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, an arrogant governor might walk around going, told you so. But that's exactly it. That people are saying, you know what, that there may be some things that I want more than, you know, just a couple more shekels returned to me after I file my taxes.
Well, and big picture speaking as well, Snyder has also talked quite a bit about making sure that roads, that infrastructure is better, because that will actually bring business to the state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that it's it's one of the reasons why one of the biggest backers of coming up with a lot more money for roads, more than $1 billion, is the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. And they're finding that they've had a lot of trouble getting, you know, their very own Republicans to come across. And it's why, you know, Governor Snyder and some Republicans in the legislature, like Wayne Schmidt up in Traverse City, who chairs the House Transportation Committee, are saying, you know what? You know, with everything that's going on right now, let's not give up on a big picture solution for transportation funding, because people are right now seeing and feeling with every bump in the road the need to do something.
Right. And we saw poll numbers, some polling coming out last month that said just that it looked like voters were interested in fixing roads, putting more money into schools than basically getting a tax break.
Mm-hmm. And remember that you know, voters aren't saying that they're willing to give up more in order to do this. That what this polling says is just that they're willing to not insist on getting something back that they weren't getting that they weren't getting before. They're saying, you know, fix this, you know, put more money into roads, put more money into schools. And we just, you know, saw, you know, some action in the legislature to actually increase the per pupil spending on schools in Michigan by even more than what the governor has asked for. Now, a lot of that would come from, you know, ending some special categories in spending, but it's still, it's kind of the same thing, is that we're seeing some real interest in investment.
Rick, how much of that, though, has to do with, of course, that we are in an even year, thus we are in an election year, 2014, the entire state House, the entire state Senate, Governor Snyder, all
the entire governor is up
the entire governor up for re-election. I mean, doesn't putting more money into schools, putting more money into roads, doesn't that look good come November?
Oh, absolutely. And this is in that respect, this is classic behavior that you want people to, you know, really be seeing a big boost in things that they care about, like schools, when you're getting ready to ask, you know, when you're a politician getting ready to ask them for their votes. In fact, that's why we have seen this huge debate between the, you know, Rick Snyder campaign and the Mark Schauer campaign and Republicans versus Democrats over whether or not Republicans have actually cut funding for schools over the past few years,
right,
or as Republicans claim, they've actually increased spending on schools. And it all comes down to how you measure it, that there was a reduction in direct aid to classrooms, but what until this year.
Right.
And what Republicans are saying is, though, because of the changes that we've made to the pension systems and healthcare, is we've actually left schools with more money to work with.
Right. We've talked about this before on Stateside, that yes, there was an increase in funding towards education, but that money didn't necessarily go directly into the classroom, which is where Democrats want to see it go.
And it doesn't change the fact that, you know, a lot of schools' costs have still risen faster than, you know, the state's capacity to pay for it. And so as a practical matter, schools are behaving as if they're losing money, that you know, we are still seeing, you know, teachers and principals, you know, positions being eliminated, you know, a lot of angst in districts over closing school buildings and things like that. So even if there are increases in more money to work with, it may not appear that way to a lot of constituents.
Yeah. Well, Rick, let's continue talking about money, but let's talk about it in context of Detroit. The governor, mm-hmm. the Snyder administration, the legislature are really waiting on Detroit and unions to work together on this plan of adjustment. But regardless of how's
that working?
Right. I mean, this bankruptcy is time sensitive and it doesn't appear to be working as quickly as many had hoped.
Yeah, the idea is to have the bankruptcy wrapped up by the summer, and we've sort of run into this chicken and egg situation where the unions and the city and the pensioners are trying to come up with an agreement on basically how big of a hit the pensioners are going to take. And a big part of that is a promise from the state for $350 million that would come from Michigan's tobacco settlement money. We were going back and reading that, you know, one more time,
mm-hmm.
In order to guarantee a certain level of pension benefits, and that the assets of the Detroit Institute of Arts wouldn't have to be sold to do, you know, to do the exact same thing. But there's no guarantees that this would even get through the legislature, that this would basically be, you know, a great big bailout package for the city. And that's going to be tough. So the Snyder administration is waiting on the that part of the bankruptcy process to play out before he goes to the legislature and asks them to close the deal. But he's acknowledged that part of it, you know, getting the legislature to approve that money, is also time sensitive.
Well, as a practical matter, if something's not moving forward in terms of May, early May or so, it becomes extremely difficult to get done before, you know, the summer break, and that would make it extremely difficult to do, period.
Which, remember that, you know, everyone wants this Detroit bankruptcy to be, you know, wrapped up by late summer. And, you know, Kevin Orr, his time is limited.
Right. The clock is ticking. Of course, his appointment will be done come September, October.
Yeah, and you know, as you've often pointed out, which is just before the November elections, when one of the things that Rick Snyder is and Republicans in general are going to be judged upon is their success in the city of Detroit and how far they've taken the city toward recovery.
Okay, Rick. And finally, in the last minute or so that we have, the politics of sports and the sports of politics. We are in March Madness season. President Obama, of course, choosing MSU to go all the way. But Rick, let's talk Michigan lawmakers. You spoke to Governor Snyder.
That's right. So President Obama did make news when he chose Michigan State to win the NCAA basketball championship. You would think that that would thrill a lot of people. That had a lot of Spartans going no. And that is because the president has only successfully picked the NCAA winner
once in the past six years.
So, you know, we had the chance to ask Governor Snyder who he was picking to go to the NCAA finals. And of course, he gave a very political answer.
Michigan, Michigan State in the finals. Well, you can guess that one. I'll let you review my bracket on that one.
Okay, so Michigan, Michigan State in the finals. He says you'll have to review his bracket for his final choice, which was?
And I have reviewed his bracket, and he chooses Michigan, which actually is not given the same chances as Michigan State to go all the way by the odds makers. By the way, he also, Western Michigan University is in the finals, and the governor picks Western to go pretty far as well. And, you know, remember, though, that you know, the governor is a proud and ardent Wolverine. As a matter of fact, he's probably the most ardent, you know, Michigan college sports partisan that we've had in office since John Engler, who would bleed green and white throughout both the football and basketball seasons.
Right. I think there's, in fact, stories, right, of Governors Blanchard and Milliken, who were so agnostic that they would switch half times on either side of whatever sports field and sit on one side during one half and the other side on the second half.
It was a tradition started by Governor Milliken, who is a Yale man, and he would sit in football and basketball games. He would go and sit on one side of the arena with one team, and then, yes, halfway through, he would go and sit on the other. A very political solution when it comes to choosing where you sit in terms of college sports.
Rick Pluta is Lansing Bureau Chief for the Michigan Public Radio Network and my co-host of It's Just Politics. Rick, thanks so much.
Zoe, it is, as always, my pleasure.